Okay, well, we're back again. And I should say, this is the Barden Report from republicbroadcasting.org. PJ Barden is my name. And we're back again here on this Saturday, the 8th of October, 2016. And we have, as usual, a myriad of subjects we could cover. It's non-stop, as I say. Today we hope to be talking about, we have a special guest coming on, Rachel Dow. We hope to be talking about matters concerning the Western states, which is a massive situation. I don't believe it has become part of the presidential campaign. Maybe I've missed that, but it certainly should be up there very high on the agenda. But it has been raging now. Anybody with their wits about them, surely in the last 2 years, the Malheur standoff, the Bundy Ranch attack by the BLM, they did get national publicity and worldwide publicity. And I still come across people who think they're clued in and they've never heard of what's happening here. But there's an outstanding publication called Range Magazine. It's a quarterly magazine edited by C.J. Hadley and our team of outstanding writers. And the autumn issue is out right now, I believe, is it? Or autumn or spring. But it's on the Republic Broadcasting website, www.republicbroadcasting.org. You click on to the RBN, you can click on to the magazine, and you can read the issues. But as I say, we'll be coming to those details in a while. And shortly we'll have Rachel Dow. I don't think she's with us just yet, is she? Not yet. Okay. The nine Western states, I was filling in a map recently of the amount of federal land owned by the federal government on the Western states, and it's absolutely stunning. It's over 80, up to 90% in some of the states, I think Nevada and Arizona, that the federal government have ownership of this. And I'm sure we'll clarify this as the program goes on. But how that was a... And initially, I believe the federal government only has right to facilities for federal facilities and so many acres with it, surrounding that. But it's the map. It's a pity we can't have a video as well here on a program like this. But it is truly unbelievable what the federal or the Western states, how the federal government got control of this. And then we have the BLM, the Bureau for Land Management, which is now a militarized government organization. And one of the pieces I was writing recently was that we have to thank Deborah Tavares for this information. All of the government agencies in the United States, just about all of them, are commercially registered Dun and Bradstreet Incorporated Corporations for Profit. And one of the stunning things that came out when we're covering matters to do with health matters, and Mike Adams has covered this on Natural News, the CDC now own the patent on several diseases, including Ebola, which is quite shocking. That means they are the perpetrators of that disease. But the list of things that are coming out of the federal government, the United States, and in the European Union, which Britain is now leaving, at least that is one shot across the bows. Brexit, and I think Brexit is a massive boost for Britain and for. Sorry, just get my screen right here. Sorry. Okay, I believe we have our guest. Do we have Rachel Dow?
Hi, PJ. Hello. How are you?
Very good, very good. Thank you very much for coming on. You sound loud and clear. What's it like at 6 a.m.? God help you. It's 6 a.m. Pacific there. What's it like at that time in Carson City, Nevada?
It is dark outside, and it's chilly this morning here.
Did you say snowy?
Chilly.
Oh, chilly. Yeah. You haven't got snow. What time of the year do you first get snow, or do you get snow in that part of the world at all?
I'm actually in Fallon, so I'm an hour away from Carson City, and we tend to be a little bit warmer than they are. They're very close to Tahoe.
I see. Well, all the indications are, I get a mine of information coming into me from numerous sources, that this is going to be a pretty tough winter across America and across Britain, but we'll wait and see. But I'm one of the people who understand global warming, that it doesn't exist. We're into global cooling, et cetera, et cetera. But you're a prolific writer, lecturer. You've been a public representative. Just tell us a little about yourself. What was your public? Are you still a public representative? Yeah.
No, I served on the city council here in my hometown of Fallon for a term, and then was reelected, and then was moved into economic development. So I've been doing economic development for about 3 years here in Fallon, Nevada. And I also write for Range Magazine and a couple other publications. I used to write for our local newspaper. I actually did a 5-year stint teaching public school, which I believe everyone should have to teach public school for at least 1 year. There's no way to understand what that really is unless you're in a classroom of 30 students.
I see. What age group would they be?
I taught 10th graders, 12th graders, and 8th graders English. English and writing and reading.
And how did you find them as their awareness of all the things you're aware of regarding the Western states? Did they have much awareness of the current situation in the which we'll go through now over these 2 hours in Western states? Were they knowledgeable about that, or were they willing to hear it?
Absolutely willing to hear it. There, not many of them had a good knowledge unless they were directly affected by it. I had several ranch kids and several kids that grew up on farms who had paid attention or, you know, absorbed it by osmosis in their families, and they were aware to some extent. But mostly when you talk about it, their eyes perk up and they become very interested.
It's
interesting. I'm currently teaching at our community college. I teach political science, and so I have the older students and students who've chosen to go back to school. So I have an age range of 18 to 60 in my classroom this semester. I have 27 students, and they're very interested.
That's really very good. And are you under any pressure to keep an agenda this way or that way from the school? Does that crop up?
No, teaching public school was interesting. I was teaching during the transition from No Child Left Behind to Common Core, and so there was a lot of really interesting background as Common Core was gearing up and coming into the scene, and then as we transitioned into Common Core and certain groups in the community and in the public in Nevada were very opposed to Common Core. Many people didn't pay attention or really care, and so there was actually a lot of controversy and continues to be as that continues to roll out.
Yeah, several states have thrown out Common Core, isn't that correct?
Yes.
What's your position on Common Core, by the way? What way do you see it?
Well, I believe standards are important, but I don't believe it's a really good idea to set a national standard because, and maybe it is, because we all still have the choice to exceed those standards. So as a local district, if you decide that you want your students to know more and to be better students, you can always set higher standards. It's very hard to implement a national policy with any kind of equity across the country because we still believe in local school boards. And then you still have this other animal called the state in between the federal mandates and the local elected officials. And so it's just, can you imagine? And we're watching that happen between all those levels.
Well, the only thing I heard, and I watched all the politics in Britain and Europe and America very closely, but Trump has stated on that education can be given back to the states. Well, like that was the Reagan policy, get rid of the federal interference in education. Is that the prevailing policy in Nevada?
No, I wouldn't say so. Our governor is really focused on education, but I think in Nevada, our leadership tends to have a good relationship with the federal government, and I feel like there are a lot of people in Nevada who believe that there should be a lot more local control in education. There are a lot of people who believe you should abolish the Department of Education at the federal level, but at our state level, the state leadership really facilitates a good relationship with the federal government and takes a lot of federal money and relies very heavily on that federal funding. So they have a strong relationship that I think they would be reluctant to give up.
Oh, very good. It sounds like you're not at war with the federal government then. Listening to some of the things on the alternative media that there's warfare going on in some states about Common Core to get rid of it. But, of course, it's to do with blackmail and money, really, isn't it? That the government will cut you off in funding if you do get rid of Common Core. Because people associate, I think, from my point of view over here, with Common Core with the likes of Hillary Clinton. Now, have I got that right or wrong?
Say that again, PJ?
That the Common Core and No Child Left Behind, they regard that as a Hillary Clinton-type policy and very divisive for that reason.
I think at the education level, there was a lot of resentment the way that those, but both those programs, I think No Child Left Behind we inherited as a Bush program, and then the Common Core, I feel like people in education think Common Core was put together by a very small group of people who were not particularly educators, more academics and politicians. And so educators were really offended because it wasn't about educating students. It really was political, and it was a political tool. So, yes, I think you're right. The interesting mm-hmm. thing about Common Core in Nevada, there's a really active group of folks, and I'll try and come up with the guy's name as we're sitting here. They're really opposed to Common Core just because of the, you know, the overarching control issue, but really more of a data security issue, which has been fascinating to me. And as we've watched this thing roll out, the way that the information is collected about each student in the whole district and the whole state, and then that information is kept, and there's now a database of your child and their history through their school life that politicians have actually said is this great idea because we get to follow the student through their academic career and then into college, so you have this path to whether you're going to study academics or you're going to study more career technical oriented types of things. But then your file, your data, then is available to employers as they get ready to transition you from whatever training you've gone through into the workforce. And so there's a batch of parents who looked at that and said, holy cow, this is probably not a really good idea. Do we want the government collecting all of this information about our children that really we're providing them because it's their school record? And then what are they going to ultimately do about that? And then you have the cybersecurity issues of how safe is that data and who really has access to it. So I'll find the guy's name while we're going through this for you, because he's done a really good job.
Yeah, okay. By the way, your voice is coming and going, whatever kind of a microphone there, or you have a Sam will give you some advice, I'm sure, at the break. But no, that's fine. It's a three-cornered fight. We move on to Western issues now in a minute, but it's a three-cornered fight between the government, corporations, schools, and parents, isn't it? It's a triangular gunfight all the time. That seems to me to be every time about education. It's been pulled in three directions. Have you found that?
Yes, absolutely. And when I was studying political science, we call it the Iron Triangle. You have the interest groups, you have the government, and then you have the people. And it's always, yes, you hit it on the head for sure.
Very good, very good. But regarding this mighty, mighty issues of the Western states and its existence and the BLM and that, there's just so many issues. And these multinational corporations joined up with the likes of John McCain and what's his name in the other state? Has his name written down here? These corporate, again, it's if corporate fascism. But you've written, I believe, an extensive article. I have it here mostly on this thing that shocked me beyond words. I've lived in country and city alternatively all my life, and I've been involved in agriculture, and I've worked for a lot of corporations and multinationals. I've moved around them all. But this suggestion of culling the wild horses, is that a red hot issue? It surely is.
Yes, it is.
in the western states?
It's a huge issue. It's really a western-wide issue, but it really hits home in Nevada. About 75% of the wild forces in the west are actually in Nevada. So we get the real brunt of that. The storage facilities where they bring the wild horses in to treat them and feed them and figure out what to do with them are located in Nevada. And so we really see it on a very regular basis.
The what was I going to say? What's behind this policy? It's just absolute vandalism. And what is the point of that policy by the BLM and other organizations?
Specifically the wild horse policy, or?
Yeah, the wild, we're taking wild horses, first of all. They want to wipe them all out.
Well, the wild horses have been in Nevada for as long as I remember, of course. They were turned out in the early part of the century. Ranchers would turn their horses out in the winter, gather them up in the spring. The Army, the United States Army, would turn horses out. The Native Americans had horses and would turn them out. And there was always just this management of horses on a really common sense basis. When you needed your horses, you rounded them up and you did whatever you do with horses, ranch or go to war or, you know, whatever. Rodeo. And then over the years, there began to be more and more horses turned out on the range. Horses multiply. They double in population every 4 years. And so in the early 70s, well, in the late 60s, there were some folks, and Wild Horse Annie, of course, is the famous one, who was appalled at the way that the folks in the communities would take care of horses. It was very common to gather extra horses that were starving because there was no feed or whatever, and then sell them. And that was just the way that the horses were managed on the range. And so she got really involved because she didn't like the way that that happened, and eventually was able to engage a real active public process that got a law created in 1971 called the Wild Horse and Burro Act. And so that law was implemented in 71, along with a lot of other environmental laws. That was the time of the creation of the EPA. You had the National Environmental Policy Act. You had a Clean Water Act. In kind of from 1969 to 1973, you really saw the birth of all of these environmental policies that were implemented, the Wild Horse Act being one. And so the Wild Horse Act is not a long law. It's 5 or 6 pages, and it's very clear about the management of the wild horses being given to the BLM, the Bureau of Land Management, and the Forest Service. So the Department of the Interior, through the BLM, and USDA, which is the United States Department of Agriculture, through the Forest Service, are the two agencies that are responsible for managing wild horses in the United States, mostly, of course, in the West, because that's where they are mostly. And so those two agencies got given this task, but didn't get, of course, funded enough to fully manage this problem the way it needs to be managed. And so they've done the best they can for the past 40 years.
Okay. Very good.
Trying to figure out how to manage all these.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Okay. We just hold it right there. Thanks for that. We'll come back to that just after this break in 2 or 3 minutes. Okay.
Okay.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of 7 herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now, and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
People love to shop. What if you could shop and it was actually good for you? What if you could actually purchase items that bettered your life? What goes into your body is important to what quality of life you have. How about shopping for items that better your health? GetTheTea.com is that shopping place. We're not only tea, even though that's our number one seller, we are about helping your health. There's colostrum LD for those of you with autoimmune troubles. The product helps your stomach get on track. GI problems produce pain. Get relief with colostrum LD. How about some fat burners, or maybe some joint aid, or a power cleanse? There's so much to tell you with very little time. So get help health-wise at GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Or you can call our friendly operators at 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. Get help and relief by going shopping. Shop at GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Serving people with great products for over 8 years. GetTheTea.com.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and, of course, you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at NumanaRepublic.com. That's N-U-M-A-N-N-A, Republic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
Okay, and we'll come back in again. Just apologize to Rachel. I was watching the wrong clock here. I have a computer clock, my own clock, and the program clock is, it's dark gray on black on my wretched screen, so I should have told you that. But we have a break now, break at the bottom of the hour, and then a break at 10 to, just to let you know, 3 minutes or so. But continuing on there, this evolution of these government agencies morphing into these, they're literally militarized agencies now. Is that fair to say?
Well, I guess you could look at it that way, PJ. I don't like that term of military, but they're just tasked with these overarching horrible tasks, not given enough money to do it, and then, you know, no good is going to come of it.
But the BLM are armed to the teeth. It wasn't just the Bundy standoff. They're heavily armed. That's bizarre, isn't it?
Yes, there's, and that's a whole other issue. We could talk probably the rest of the day about this.
Oh, I'd be happy to, if you are. But give me your take on that. When did this come into the public view or focus of the BLM were heavily armed like this, you know? When did that come into view, for instance, in Nevada?
We really started seeing it kind of the last 3 or 4 years. I'm going back in my mind, where we started arming park rangers and BLM folks. And of course, that doesn't go over well in the West, number one. We don't see our federal agencies as having police authority. The sheriffs in each one of our counties have been very vocal about how that just flies in the face of common sense in terms of our founding as a nation. We don't arm federal agents and give them police authority. It's an issue that many people are very passionate about. But so many people don't pay attention, and they don't know that that's, you know, there's specific reasons why we don't do that, why we don't have a state police force. And so it's really frustrating because people who know are bothered by it, and people, but more people don't know.
Yeah, another thing I've been spending a lot. I lived in Colorado for 2 years and Alberta, and was involved in microorganisms and things like that, etc., etc. I was trying to get organic certification there, but you couldn't do it because there's no certification in the federal bill. And I was talking to the guys in Fort Collins and the federal ag, and they wanted to hear what I had to say, but I found they were just an information gathering process. They had no interest in the process. And
yes.
I was really disheartened. Do you find that as well?
Yeah. We see a lot of really silly things. You know, it just doesn't make any sense to arm federal bureaucrats, basically, who are tasked with managing wild horses or managing public lands. And then how do you distinguish the jurisdictional issues between the sheriff in a county who was elected to keep the peace and enforce the laws, and then suddenly this federal agent is there, and our structure dictates that the elected sheriff is the one who has jurisdiction in that county. And then you have created a conflict between the federal government by giving police authorities to federal agents.
Yeah, I've been watching this closely. The sheriff has massive constitutional powers. There's an organization called the Constitutional Sheriff's Organization run by Richard Mack. Have you come across them? And Chris Ann Hall, you know those people, yeah?
I'm not familiar with them. I'm more connected to our local sheriffs and their efforts. They're very active in Nevada. They do a really good job of trying to make this all work and really.
Sorry, who's that? The Constitutional Sheriffs, is it?
Our local
CPOSA. Do they have a name like something like that? Is that who you're talking about?
No, in Nevada, the sheriffs in Nevada, the 17 elected sheriffs, have an organization. And all of their deputies belong. And so they do a really good job. I pay more attention to that local organization, but now that you've told me about this, I'll check it out.
Sure, no, I'll send you information on that. But no, it became a red-hot issue at the famous Mal Ure standoff. And I know the mistakes were made there, but they were kind of set up there. And that's when the BLM arrived, like the Bundy Ranch standoff was like the military arriving. But for instance, the trial that's going on now of Ammon Bundy and the 8 people arrested, does that get any publicity day-to-day in Nevada, or locally or regionally?
Just a little bit.
Sorry, I should have talked. We're going to the bottom of the hour break.
Yeah, sure.
Hold on for that, and we'll be back in about 2 or 3 minutes. Okay.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Hi, my name is Chris. Since the 1970s, I have been actively making products available that support good health. What makes my juices flow is helping mankind get healthy. Today, I'm going to tell you about a product that will help your juices to flow. I am excited to recommend Dr. Miller's Holy Tea to you. Even if we are eating a clean diet, these impurities are entering our bodies. Holy Tea moves these poisons that are creating havoc with our health out of our bowels. It works on the whole digestive system, The five tasty herbs are combined to provide an amazing detoxifying and healing tea that will rid your body of the pollutants and soothe your digestive tract, and in some cases, help you lose weight. It is critical for our health to move all of the environmental toxins from our bodies. The Holy Tea can do that. As a hydrocolon therapist, remember, with every BM, you're supporting RBN. www.holytea.org. 800-326-2001.
Extendivite, a seven-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
This is not legal advice. This is a public service announcement from TakeFromCaesar.us. Only one statute explains how to tax your paycheck, Tax Code Section 83. In decisions from 1979 to 2011, the courts say Section 83 governs the taxation of all compensation for personal services, but the IRS lies on the stand, claiming to be unfamiliar with Section 83. Only one person can explain what Section 83 means, David Merlin. Visit TakeFromCaesar.us for more information.
Roberts & Roberts Brokerage believes that everyone should have some of their assets in investment-grade precious metals. Roberts & Roberts has been a trusted name in precious metals for nearly 40 years. Experienced investors will appreciate our personal service and low prices. If you're new to precious metals, we can help you find the products right for you. Give us a call today at 800-874-9760 or visit us online at rrbi.co. Roberts & Roberts Brokerage, when you're serious about precious metals.
Okay, and we're coming back in again. Okay, Rachel, we have a 20-minute run now. I won't be interrupting you for an hour or 10 to the hour. But from what you say, it's very interesting. Nevada seems to be much more at ease with itself than a lot of the other Western states, from what you say. And I take your words very accurately. But I have a map in front of me here of the nine Western states, Arizona, yeah. Nevada, Utah, maybe Colorado, Idaho, Oregon, Montana and Washington, there's good, nothing more different, chalk and cheese, but like living in Nevada as opposed to living in California. They're two different worlds, aren't they? They border on each other, yes. But they're two different worlds, yeah?
Yes, for sure.
California, I won't go into now, but stark raving bunkers they've gone. The laws they're implementing there, I mean, it's absolutely fascism and socialism morphed together, like mandatory vaccination laws and illegal to water your garden or to grow food. And this is going on. There's quite a few states across the states. I touch on it regularly on this program. But the other word that comes up, which is the big beast in the room among Agenda 21. You know what Agenda 21 is, I'm sure. Sustainability. Yes. This is a weapon that they're using against the Western states. Do you find that?
I find the sustainability movement to be really interesting. And, of course, the public is completely unaware. Sustainability is a lovely word. We want things to last. But your red flag should probably go up when the word sustainability is used. And and it's used in all sorts of ways. Yes, you're right. You've got to pay attention when we start talking sustainability.
Yeah, the tradition.
You know,
yeah, sorry, go on. Yeah,
corruption.
Yeah,
it's a corruption of the language. You know, you can't say global warming anymore. You have to say climate change. It's ridiculous, and you're hitting it on the head when you say all of these crazy regulations in the. In the state of California, now we're regulating the gas that escapes from cows, for Pete's sakes. the governor of California is now regulating cow gas. It's ridiculous.
I see. No, the switch from the likes of Al Gore on these global warmers, we have access, and anybody can have the same access, to the true scientists who are not bought and paid for shills. But the reason they switched from global warming, the likes of Gore and his followers, to climate change, they have much more room for maneuver when you talk about climate change. Climate change has been with us since the beginning of time, the ebb and flow of climate and weather and all the rest of it. But global warming is a total hoax. And in Northern Europe here, we have the science. But the BBC are a culprit here, trying to push New Age beliefs and global warming still, even though we're headed into a mini ice age here. That's fact. The real scientists are independent. And this is the thing, to get independent doctors and that, it's near impossible, and scientists. They're all owned by the pharmaceutical industry or by multinationals. Do you come up against that from time to time?
Well, we, in our small town, we're a little bit isolated from that kind of stuff, but where we see it is, you know, your involvement as an elected official in the national organizations for the government. So when you're on the city council, you belong to the National League of Cities, and each state has the same sort of organization, so all the cities in the state have an organization. And so when you're a county commissioner, you belong to the National Association of Counties. And those organizations provide a lot of education and a lot of information for local officials on all of these different issues that you talk about all the time, PJ. And mm-hmm. and when you use the term sustainability, you're very accurate. We would go to the national meetings of the city councilors all over the country, and we would go to workshops that talked about sustainable communities and how do you have sustainable building codes, and it's a movement.
Just staying on that point, continue on, but are you in agreement with what is put to you at these meetings?
I personally don't agree with those types of things, and I listen very carefully to the language, and it's very difficult because you have a whole evolution of policy that is directed in these sustainable directions, and I feel like I'm not being specific enough, but you are one elected official in a sea of people who are focused on evolving public policy in these directions. And so you would tend to find other elected officials, mostly from the West, who see that, who see building sustainable communities as potentially an issue when you're looking at federal funding and what's expected if you receive or accept federal funding for your community to implement a sustainable community. So I'll give you one example, because I feel like I'm talking too much in generalities. In building codes, there's a movement where communities are adopting building codes that were created and put together by the United Nations. And implementing these building codes in their communities, where if you're going to build something in this community, it must follow all of these regulations. So they can regulate Main Street, so that every building on Main Street has the matching sign, and you can have all this pretty little Main Street.
But this is Agenda 21. This is the very core of this. This is vicious. This is the UN. Everything from the UN is Agenda 21. And what are you not sure? Totally up in arms about that?
I think that when you become totally up in arms, and I'm thinking of specific people that I interact with who run around screaming, Agenda 21, Agenda 21, we've got to do something. In about 3 minutes, no one will listen to them anymore. And so they've lost all of their effectiveness and all of the knowledge that they have and all of the rightness that they have in that issue is lost and does nobody any good because of the way they've chose to behave about it. And so you have to be very, very careful. It's maddening because it's wrong to watch a lot of this happen, but you need to be very careful to maintain your reputation and your ability to get anything done. You have to be able to present yourself so that people will listen, so that you can have an impact and you can get people to understand what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Or you've lost everything and you've done the movement no good and no one will listen. You know, it's tended to become this thing in the West where if you say, oh, well, that's Agenda 21, then no one will listen to you because the people who have opposed Agenda 21 have been so radical and foamy-mouthed about it that mm-hmm. it's become this yep. thing that elected officials won't listen to you because you're crazy.
Yeah. Well, so, if you were putting what's right for your area, it would sound more sensible. But it's like the global warming thing has got involved in this terrible right-left thing. The left are totally pro global warming, and the right want to deny it. Well, it's not. It's neither. You know, it's just look at the science where it's relevant. You know.
Yes, it becomes a tool. It becomes a political tool, and then the reality of what's going on is completely lost. Your ability to address it and possibly do something to make it better is lost because it's become a political issue that we're just going to fight about instead of actually be dignified and thoughtful and agree and disagree where we can to make something better. We've lost our ability to do that to mm-hmm. such a great extent. It's very discouraging to be involved in public policy or local government or state government. The last thing in the world I would ever want to do is be a state representative, for Pete's sake. You have very little hope of ever getting anything necessary done because of what you're talking about, this horrible left-right battle.
Yeah. The two things that get tied together here, and they're both perverted, water rights and sustainability. But the sustainability was the original civilized method of managing farming, not overgrazing it, not abusing the soil, and lots of things related to that, and not polluting it, and that was the true definition of sustainability. But now sustainability extreme definitions are being used by the BLM and the federal government to drive people off the land. Now, surely that's an issue in Nevada.
It is, and there are tools being used to meet these policy objectives by people who are opposed to any sort of activity on public lands. And we saw that in the 80s with the spotted owl in Oregon, and we're seeing that now in Nevada with the sage grouse. We're finding people who see the world a certain way, and here we refer to them as environmentalists. Or wild horse activists or whatever, and they don't want the range, public lands being used for any sort of production. So they come up with these tools and perversion of these issues to prevent the use of public lands. And so the sage grouse issue has just been crazy for the past probably 5 years. We're going to list the sage grouse as an endangered species. And if you get the sage grouse listed as endangered species, then you won't have the ability to mine or ranch or hunt or recreate in many, many areas in the West because you've got to preserve the sage grouse habitat. And so it becomes this fallacy of we've got to save this bird. The state of Nevada has done a really good job of putting themselves together and getting very organized and working to prevent the listing of that bird. The Fish and Wildlife Service finally agreed not to list the bird, but it came at such an expense of time and money and all of these people, instead of doing their regular jobs, have had to go get together once a month or twice a month to sit through these day-long meetings to figure out how we're going to preserve enough sage grouse habitat so that we don't have to list that bird on the endangered species list and keep ourselves in business so that the economy of our state isn't adversely affected so that we can save this bird.
Sure. No, that sounds absolutely sensible indeed. But But no, it sounds like Colorado. I lived in Colorado. People in Nevada have their feet firmly on the ground for sensible issues. But the I'm not trying to politicize this discussion again, because we've just been saying how we shouldn't mix politics with environmentals. But again, the federal government have their agenda as well as the states and all the rest. With this thing of the Hammonds and the Bundys, is there genuine interest and public sympathy about their plight? Because they were framed, absolutely framed. The Hammonds were absolutely framed. They were backburning and managing their land correctly, and because some of the wildfires spread, they were fined $400,000. I mean, that was an outrage beyond outrages. Do people understand that?
I think many people do, but so many people do not. And this will take us back to the wild forest issue. So in the West, if you're not managing the land properly, you're going to have fuel. You're going to have things growing there that get very dry because, of course, we have, like, no water. And so if there is no management of that vegetation, it will catch on fire. We have thunderstorms here, and the lightning catches the ground on fire. And so when the environmentalists make it so that you have to remove cattle from a certain area, then the vegetation grows and catches on fire. So the Hammonds were managing the fuel loads so that it wouldn't catch on fire and burn the whole country. And so, yeah, you're accurate. But I think a lot of people just don't understand that. The wild horses, there have become so many of them now. They've finally revised their numbers. They used to say there were 44,000 wild horses in the West, free range, roaming around. And this summer they came out and said, we've revised our numbers and we think it's a lot closer to 67,000. So you've got 67,000 horses competing for this vegetation and eating the natural vegetation, and then these grasses grow back that become terrible fuel loads. And so they've, in certain places, eaten all the vegetation down to nothing, and this summer it's been horrible because we're 4 years into a drought. So we've got these horses across Nevada that are just starving to death. The BLM has had to go make emergency gathers and haul water. And it's been very, very sad to see.
I see.
Just too many of them on the land.
But who will take the final decision? Surely the BLM can't take that decision on their own. Surely it has to be a legislator with taking public opinion into account who makes the decision on that. How will that work?
Well, the way that it exists right now, the law that was passed in 1971 is very specific about the horses being managed. And it says that when you have excess horses that you can't adopt out and you can't sustain your program. Look, we're using the word sustain. The program is not sustainable, PJ, because there's not enough federal money to pay to take care of all these horses. So what the Wild Horse Advisory Board saw this summer is they saw horses starving. They saw degraded rangelands because of overgrazing of the horses. And they said, we have got to figure out what to do. This is not working. What we're going to do is we're going to go back to the law, the 1971 law that was passed that gave Congress authorization to sell horses, excess horses. And so if the BLM were allowed to implement their management program according to the existing law, they could get this done. They could do this. But it's costing $87 million a year to run the wild horse program. And we have children in this country who can't afford hot lunch at school. So we're throwing these incredible resources towards managing wild horses in an emotional way because of wild horse advocates who are making very poor decisions based on our emotions of our idea of these beautiful horses running across the plains. Of course we love that. But have you seen a kid come to school because dirty, hasn't eaten breakfast, and I have an eighth grader sitting in my classroom. I have 15 out of 30 who didn't eat breakfast that morning, who can't afford lunch. That's a much bigger problem. And we aren't throwing those kind of resources towards that we're throwing towards medical.
Well, you've explained that very, very well indeed. Let's get off the last break of this hour, and we'll be back in 3 minutes.
As a regular listener to Republic Broadcasting, you certainly understand the times and circumstances that we are living in. You certainly understand that the good times are over, and you certainly understand what we are heading for. Though we do not know what exactly is going to happen, we must assume that it's going to be a disaster. Are you prepared for that mess? Go to www.bugoutpanama.net and get the necessary information on our growing community of awake and prepared individuals, just like you. At www.bugoutpanama.net, you will learn how we are preparing on our farm, Finca Bayano, for what is coming. Emigrate while you still can to our village, where survival is of the utmost importance. Prepare. Don't despair. At www.bugoutpanama.net.
This is not legal advice. This is a public service announcement from TakeFromCaesar.us. Only one statute explains how to tax your paycheck, Tax Code Section 83. In decisions from 1979 to 2011, the courts say Section 83 governs the taxation of all compensation for personal services, but the IRS lies on the stand, claiming to be unfamiliar with Section 83. Only one person can explain what Section 83 means, David Merlin. Visit TakeFromCaesar.us for more information.
Do you have difficulty taking supplements? Are you searching for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutriMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutrition meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutriMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com. NutriMedical.com for the whole family.
Hi, my name is David Merlin from TakeFromCaesar.us. Income is defined in the tax code. All property is a cost, including labor, according to statute. You're deprived of the provisions of Section 83 whenever you pay an income tax on your compensation. According to Section 83, only the excess over the amount paid is gross income. The government can't so much as provide an interpretation of Section 83 of its own. Get your paradigm shift and understanding today at TakeFromCaesar.us.
Coming back in again. This is just a short 3.5 minutes at the top of the hour. Then we'll have a 20-minute run down the other side. Okay, that figure you mentioned is shocking. $87 million a year. That's in Nevada alone, yeah.
No, that's the BLM's budget for their wild.
Okay, for all the horse, yeah. I was just working that out to calculate. It's $1,300 per horse, but if you were keeping a horse yourself, you'd certainly spend $1,300 a year looking after him. Well, in the UK, you would anyway.
in
right. Relative money, and the hobby horse thing here is expanded beyond. It's massively in rural England. Yeah, you know, people maturing, their children grow up, and then they move out to rural parts like Wales or Hereford and Yorkshire, whatever, and they buy two or three acres of land and
we get horses. But then again, the veterinary bills, which is the biggest killer. And because of this, not going into the whole thing of vaccinations and such, but this thing where they're vaccinating animals and putting sheep dip there, thing, it's weakening the strain. But people have given up an awful lot of pet horses recently because they can't afford to keep them. But what the analogy you make there, like I know you're involved in a very sensible analysis of this and what you do in your work. But this thing of children coming to school without a breakfast, that's a problem in Britain where they've had to reintroduce that here again. And it's shocking in this day and age it's going on. It's just, wow, it's shocking. How do you find local media there, local radio stations and papers? Are they dealing with these issues sensibly as you are? You know, how do you find that?
Well, I think they do a fairly good job when they cover it. But there's so much going on all this time. And I looked just to see when you brought up the Bundy case, you know, they're in trial right now. And mm-hmm. you had talked about Agenda 21, and does anyone do anything about it? And I talked about how unreasonable some people become. But I think one thing can be said for the Bundys and the Hammonds, and I think they're a symbol of people's frustration in how this whole thing is evolving. And, you know, you can go around saying Agenda 21 is bad and then no one listens to you. And then you end up in a situation like the Hammonds and the Bundys. And they're just frustrated because things are so bad with these overarching regulations, and they got themselves in a bad situation, and now here they are. And then the media, to answer your question, is the general media that we rely on, just, you know, mainstream media, I hate that term, is not really covering at any depth what's going on really, so that we can make those connections to, we've got to deal with these things reasonably, or you have two choices. People think you're crazy and they don't listen to you, or you have to go to such extremes that you end up in jail or dead because you disagree with what the government is doing, which is wrong. They're doing things wrong. There's too much regulation, and there's not a reasonable way anymore to really get involved. And so you have these horrible situations that end up happening. Mm-hmm. And so we really have to come back to a place where you can be effective if you're reasonable. And the government needs to be more responsible about facilitating reasonable discussion and doing everything they can to prevent what happened with the Bundys and Hammonds.
Very good, very good. Well, okay, we'll have a longer run after this break, 20 minutes, and hang in there, and we'll be back in 2 or 3 minutes.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.